look into this final word from the Gospel of Luke today. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit in our lives that helps us to understand what you have written and understand how we are to apply these things to our lives personally. Lord, we just pray that you will open up our eyes today to things that maybe we didn't understand before, and you will open up our minds to what the Spirit of God wants us to know. Lord, help us and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, and I'll be reading verses 36 through 53. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. While they were talking about this, you know, the two guys on the Emmaus Road that Pastor Tyler spoke about last week, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I'm still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So today we're going to take a small peek at the resurrected Jesus. What is the main thing? It's the main thing in our faith. So you won't get everything there is to know about the resurrection today, but you're going to get what this text speaks about. The resurrected Jesus, the main thing. Have you ever tried to walk around your house at night with the lights off? Every time I do that, what do? I always stub my toe. It's always the little one. It's the little one. It just, you know, I'm yelling. Oh, I didn't know that was there. Or maybe knock over stuff, you know, that you didn't see it was there. You knock over lamps. Maybe a chair is not where it's supposed to be. You knock that stuff over. And, you know, the majority of people today walk around in darkness all day long, unable to see, and they can't make heads or tails of anything. Their eyes are closed. They're spiritually blind. They think they're open-minded, but actually they're closed-minded. And they are missing out on the central thing in life. And that thing, that person, is Jesus. The risen, resurrected Christ. If you look at chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, The whole chapter tells us about how God revealed this living, resurrected Jesus. He did this by opening a tomb, not so that Jesus could get out, but so that people could see in. He did this by opening eyes of these guys. You know, they had the information, but their eyes were still closed about who Jesus is. Pastor Tyler spoke about that last week. And today, we're going to see that he did it by opening minds and by opening lips and by opening heaven. So today, let's look at seven ways Jesus revealed to his disciples that he had truly risen from the dead. Seven ways. I promise I won't go more than 30 minutes. You know, I always have my wife looking at the clock, and so she's always going like this if I talk too long. So she writes down, you know, this is it. This is it. We're out of here. But we try to do that because it helps our, you know, our children's workers and kids. You know, if the kids start screaming back there, and next week you're not going to have any child care workers, you know. So we do have limits on how long we can talk. Not because I don't know more, but because, hey, we got more people back there that are dependent upon me to get this, you know, down to where it should be. So the first way that Jesus revealed to his disciples that he had risen from the dead by suddenly appearing among them. And the key word there is suddenly. Suddenly. Look at verses 34 through 38 again. I'll just read 36 through 38. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds?" You know, imagine for a minute that you are one of the guys just returning from the Emmaus Road. That was, you know, as soon as Jesus left these guys, they went back to Jerusalem. It was 7 miles back. So you and your buddy had taken off. It is dark. Right after you met Jesus, right after Jesus left you, you go back to Jerusalem. And you're in his house where the 11 are. That means the disciples that are left over after Judas is gone. And the tense of the verb there shows us that it's passive tense. So they were actually brought there by the Holy Spirit. The reason it wasn't random. It wasn't for a random reason that they were all together, but the Holy Spirit actually brought them together so that they could see the resurrected Jesus. And you and your buddy are eager to tell everybody what you've seen. You've seen the resurrected Jesus. And right away, before you can say one word, everybody says at once to you, "It's true. The Lord has risen from the dead." And after they say that, you're once again ready to say what happened to you, and you start talking about it. But before you can get a word in edgewise, you're interrupted again. And you don't really mind that you're interrupted this time because you're interrupted by Jesus. It's okay to be interrupted by Jesus, who took over the floor, and he said to them a very important phrase, "Peace to you, peace be with you." Irene is the Greek word, but probably that's a translation of shalom, which means a lot more than just lack of war. It means prosperity. It means this wonderful presence of God with you. That's what Jesus said to them. And Jesus' presence shook up the whole place like never before and never in the future would happen again. Not by his appearance. You know, Jesus didn't have wings. Jesus didn't have a halo over his head or with some blue collar or whatever. Modern fashion of the day. That wasn't the reason they were shook up. But they were shook up by his appearance, his sudden appearance in what they thought was a secret place. I mean, they were there hiding. They thought, nobody knows we're here. The doors were locked. And suddenly, Jesus is there. You know, we would expect these people to be filled with joy, wouldn't we? They'd say, Hallelujah! Jesus has risen from the dead. He's here with us. But instead, the text tells us they were terrified. They were frightened. They were troubled. And the emphasis here, Jesus himself was with them. The I am that John talks about is here, and there's an emphasis. Jesus tells them over and over again, I myself am with you. But they thought he was a ghost. In Mark 16:11 tells us why they expressed this reaction, and it was because of a condition of their hearts. Mark 16:11 says they acted this way because they didn't believe. And sometimes our reactions to unexpected things are also determined by what scriptures we have in this head, what scriptures we put in this heart, and by unbelief. That's why we act the way we do sometimes. It's not what we want to do, if we think about it, but then maybe later we remember the Word of God and we say, oh, I should have done this, I should have said this. But Jesus revealed to his disciples that he had risen from the dead by suddenly appearing to them. Second way that Jesus revealed to his disciples who he was, by showing them his resurrected body. Look at 39 and 40. He says, look at my hands and touch my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. You know, most of these people that were in this meeting were fishermen. I imagine they probably had a fishing pole or two there with them. And this is my ichthus cup that I bought in Bethlehem. See that fish right there? Ichthus. Ichthus is a Greek word for fish. But they probably didn't have ichthus cups yet. But they were certainly thinking about fish because they were fishermen. But Jesus, to prove his resurrection, wanted them to see the marks of the crucifixion. No scars, like some of the songs say, but the prints of the crucifixion. They were still there. And not only that, John says he wanted them to see the mark on his side where the spear had pierced him. He wanted them to see that it is I, myself. It's the I am that John spoke so clearly about. Seeing and touching would convince the disciples that the words they had heard before were absolutely true. And John would later write about how this impacted his life. And we're going to study that part next week in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, this past week, I was with a group of men called Ashland Men. And I heard a lady who's the coach of the women's basketball team speak. And her name is Carrie Pickens. I mean, this lady has quite a resume. She has won a national championship as a player. She's won a national championship as assistant coach. And she's won a national championship as a coach, as the head coach at Ashland. And I've watched some of these games, and they are wonderful to watch because there is absolutely no drama. There's no drama during these games. I mean, the referee makes a mistake. The girls smile. You know, they get fouled. They smile. The coach takes them out and puts somebody else in. They give them a high five and they sit down. And they get a drink of water. They're not whining. They're not complaining. I asked her, how do you do this? I can see with the saved girls that play on your team, you know, the Holy Spirit can help them. But how about the unsaved girls? They're not all saved kids on your team. How do you get them to respond in that way? Well, she said, well, we coach this. We coach them ahead of time. This is the way you're supposed to act to represent our school. And the second thing we do is we have this two-touch rule. So all five girls on the court will go up to that girl that's affected by the play and give her a high five or pat her on the back or smack her on the bottom. You know, and this that touch, that physical touch, brings them back from, you know, the emotions that were carrying the day to reality. You know, I am representing something here. So it moves them from just knowing what's true to actually understanding what's true where they're at. So by showing them his resurrected body, having them touch it, they're using all their senses and they're seeing that everything they had been taught was actually real. It came true. A third way, by sharing a piece of fish, he ate it in front of them. Verses 41 through 43 says this, and while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? You're asking fishermen, you know, if they have anything to eat. You know the guy, somebody's going to have a piece of fish in his bag, you know. You know they're going to have that. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. So the disciples had a hard time believing. The scripture here tells us because they were so full of amazement and joy. It was like, it was too good. It's too good to be true. This can't be happening. It's too good. We saw him die. We saw him crucified on the cross. We saw him where they buried him. And now he's risen from the dead. It's like Jacob in the book of Genesis when he learned that Joseph was alive. Couldn't believe it. It seemed to be too good to be true. For this reason, our Lord ate a piece of fish with them, showing them that his patience with us is as great in his resurrected state as it was when he served here among us on this earth. It's the same Jesus, the same way he relates to people with patience and works with us so that we understand these things. Fourth way, by reminding them of the things that he taught them. Look at verse 44. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Your mother ever tell you, son, don't you remember all the times I told you that, you know, this is the way it is? And how many times I told you to, you know, pick up your shoes and put them in this place so you can find them next time? It makes it all kinds of, you know, makes it a lot easier. Of course, we don't listen usually. But Jesus here is reminding them of the things that he taught them when he was here on this earth. And, you know, the scriptures that he taught them are alive. And they're active. They were sticking. They had stuck with these disciples, but they weren't thinking about them. And he talks about all three major divisions of the Old Testament that spoke about Jesus. Now, the LifeWise Bible courses speak about the head. Every course we teach, every Bible lesson we teach, talks about the head, the heart, and the hands. The head is the knowledge part of the Bible. And the heart part is how this knowledge is to be connected with Jesus. And finally, the hands are how do we apply this to life? I mean, what difference does it make if you don't apply it to life somehow? And Jesus is, in this passage, is referring to the head, the knowledge they should have got, and how it refers to him. Helping them to make this connection, you know, from just knowing to understanding. And he's so patient the way he does this with them. Even eating a piece of fish. Fifth way, by opening their minds. Look at verse 45. And he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He helped them to understand the scriptures. And there's an emphasis here on the graphe in Greek. It means written things, the written things. He helped them to understand what God had written for us. And you know, it's the same word here. This opening is the same Greek word as Pastor Tyler spoke about last week with the two guys. You know, he opened their eyes so that they could see. And here in this passage, he's opening their minds. It's the idea of illumination. You know, our lights here illuminate this room so that we can see, so we don't trip over everything when we come in here. It's the same thing where God does that with us, with our minds. He opens, he enlightens us so that we can understand. The lights come on. He enabled their minds to see that the Old Testament scriptures were speaking about Christ, explaining his suffering, and explaining his resurrection. This past week, a friend of ours, early last month, a friend of ours was shot while driving his car down a highway. You know, the bolt came in the back window and went by his head, pierced him in the ear, went out the front windshield. Well, he was driving the car on the highway and he thought a rock had fallen off a truck. So there was a policeman by the ramp, so he stopped to talk to the policeman. He said, maybe you guys should talk to these truck drivers about, you know, throwing rocks on cars. Well, the policeman got out and looked at his car and said, well, there was no rock that was thrown at you. You were shot. I mean, there's a bullet hole in the back window, and the whole back window is shattered out of your car, and that bullet went right through your side of your ear. And you know, he didn't understand. He was totally in shock. He didn't have the orientation he needed to understand what had happened. He thought that he knew what happened, but that's not what happened. And he took that policeman in order to show him. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's opened these men's minds so that they could see Christ in the scriptures. You know, if we don't see Christ in the scriptures in the Old Testament when we read it, that means also that our eyes aren't open. Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament. He is the key that unlocks truth and causes us to have insight that we never thought was possible, because he illuminates us. He opens our eyes, gives us the possibility of understanding. What a gift it is for a believer to understand things that other people who are not believers cannot understand. The sixth way that Jesus revealed himself is by giving them a job to do. Look at verses 46 through 49. He told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So the sixth way is by giving them a job to do. They were to be witnesses of the resurrections. Those who had seen the miracles of the Lord, those who had heard his actual words that he said, those who had had their heart changed by God's word, were to tell others about it. Christianity is a very personal thing, but it's not a private thing. It's something when we get it, we want to tell everybody about it, and we do. And these disciples were to tell others about it with a starting point in Jerusalem and also a date after the Holy Spirit came into them. And they were to be, and it was supposed to be for all nations, for everybody, including Gentiles like you and me. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here. And they were to be witnesses. And the Greek word there is martyr, for witness. So all these people that initially, all the apostles were martyred for their faith. So that actually came true, martyred for their faith. The Holy Spirit would clothe them with power. And the source of their commissioning and power is God himself that was directing them. You know, that job continues today, doesn't it? That job of sharing the gospel with other people continues in our lives. I heard someone say this week, they know that for a while they stopped using their place of position to influence people about Jesus. And you know, they just didn't feel right. That there was a sadness, like an emptiness on the inside of them. And finally they decided, you know, God has left us here on this earth for the purpose we could tell others about Jesus. That's our job. Otherwise, he'd just take us home, get us out of here, you know, because we have a job to do. So let's find a way to get this job done, okay, each one of us. The seventh and final way, by ascending into heaven. Look at verses 50 through 53. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up their hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. After comforting and commissioning his disciples, Jesus led them out of their hiding place into the daylight. He walked them through the streets of Jerusalem. He crossed the Kidron Valley. And when you do that, on the one side, you have all these white sepulchers that Jesus talked about in Matthew 23. And then on the right side, as you go further, there's Gethsemane. It's not a garden. It's an oil press. That's what it is, with 8 to 10 olive trees, but no flowers. It's just an oil press. And then the Mount of Olives. You've got to go up then to a place close to Bethany, almost 2 miles south of Jerusalem, through these olive trees. And when he got to that place that he was looking for, he blessed them. And there, right before their eyes, can you imagine this? Right before their eyes, Jesus ascended into heaven and was blessing them as he ascended, just like Elijah in the Old Testament. And they stood there and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. You know, the Gospel of Luke ends where it begins, in the temple, in Jerusalem. It ends in a temple. At the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, we find a priest named Zacharias, who had prayed to God with his wife for a child. But when an angel appears to him in the temple, he doesn't believe that this is an angel. So he had a hard time believing. At the end of Luke, however, we find transformed believers who were continually in the temple, believing, praising God. What a difference Jesus makes. He is the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. He brings us out of darkness and into his kingdom of light when we put our faith in him. He calls us and we respond or we don't respond by faith. And if we respond by faith, he brings us into the kingdom of light. And he illumines things so we can understand. We know what Jesus did. We know what we're supposed to do. But we have to take that step of faith. Turn from our sins. Realize, hey, you know, this stuff that I've been doing in the past is just focused on me, mainly. I'm the center of my world. It makes me feel good for a while. But that's not why we were created. We're created to have Jesus at the center of our lives and to live for Jesus. So we have to decide to turn from our sins and ask Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior. You know, he's the one who can save us. He's the only one who has the right, because he died on the cross, gave his life for you and for me. How about you today? Have you done that? Have you made that decision? Have you stopped walking around your house like I was doing, like I do sometimes in my house? I trip around, knock things over because my mind is closed, my eyes are closed. Or we let Jesus open our eyes so we can see him. We can see reality. We can be born again. If you want to do that today, you can pray with us to receive Jesus. And that's what we want you to do. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of eternal life that you offer to everybody. And it's up to us to make a decision to follow you. Can't blame anybody else. Can't blame God. Can't blame our parents. Can't blame our situation. The offer is to every person, regardless of where we're coming from. And it works, regardless of where we're coming from. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.